a lot of deliveries for your crew, your players, and yourself as well this morning.
Yeah, today's an exciting day. Season tickets are printed. We're ready to go. And throughout the GTA today, roughly 75 to 100 pairs of tickets are going to be delivered by ELT members of MLSE, and also fans will be surprised to maybe see a Landry Fields or an Aaron Gray or somebody from the team drop by and make a delivery of tickets in person. I'm here today to drop off the tickets for the fan, and here they are.
Okay. Very nice.
Now we got to make sure.
No, I get
you,
the
although
sense.
You are an executive, we got to make sure an executive from this place doesn't get it. We're going to send them out to the commoners before we let the execs get old.
I got dibs on the Suns game with the Friday, November 30th. So I just want to point that out there.
Yeah, I do want to thank also our partners at Purolator for making the delivery of the tickets possible throughout the GTA.
What a different. I'll mention home opener is against Minnesota on the 4th. We'll run through some of the great games on the schedule. You guys will play the Madrid team here actually 2 weeks from this coming Monday after going to Halifax next week for camp. What a difference a year makes, though. Your excitement level must be off the charts compared to last September. You're excited for any season. We don't have a CBA at this point last year. You've added your new coach is starting. Now he's got a year under his belt. And you add not only an eighth overall pick in Terrence Ross, you add the fifth round overall pick in Jonas Valanciunas from the year before. So you got two top 10 picks, a coach with a year under his belt, a healthy team, and a full schedule.
You know, if last year was about uncertainty across the board, this year is about stability, and it's a year that you're going to see us accelerate our plan. Last year, you could see the culture shift with Coach Casey implementing a new defensive mindset, but also just more accountability across the board. And right now, with 18 guys in the gym 2 weeks out from camp starting, it's remarkable to see the commitment of the players and their excitement and enthusiasm. They were out at Rogers Field yesterday, Rogers Center, training and doing some things just away from the gym because they're at that point where they're chomping at the bit. They're ready to kill each other, and I think that's a great way, a great mindset going into camp. Mm.
You look at the Eastern Conference, Brian, and you see some of the teams on the bubble for that 8th seed. With some of the offseason changes you made, if healthy, do you feel your guys are on the precipice of getting there and getting to that top 8 in the East?
I think health obviously affects every team across the board, but the dynamic in the East, there's been a power shift, if you will. You know, Atlanta maybe going another direction as they rebuild or retool. Orlando made a huge deal, which puts them in a new light. You've got teams that are kind of hanging on to that window, if you will, the Boston Celtics by way of example. But I think there's teams on the rise, and we're one of those teams on the rise. And if we can put things together and, again, find that magic. I'm reminded this year of the year that I got here, 2006 in March. Had a chance to kind of revamp the team a little bit going into camp that year. There was an unknown, and there was a lot of enthusiasm and excitement internally. Nobody really knew what to expect from the outside. We've got a lot of that same brewing right now. The only thing I would tell you is there's a lot more knowns because we've got a young core of players that we've been with for a few years now. And these young players that we're adding, we know a little bit more about what they can bring to the table.
Brian Colangelo's in studio with us, our Sportsnet 590 insider for Featherlight Ladders, president and GM of the Raptors. Let me ask you, and you're right, it takes one domino. I think about your Atlantic Division championship team. You win the division. Good young core with Chris here, the European factor with Calderon, Garbajosa, not European, but international factor. And then I always remember the day I heard Boston gets Kevin Garnett, and then they make the trade for Ray Allen. It tipped the dynamic in the division. Chicago was like that when they fell into Derrick Rose with their first overall pick, tipped the dynamic in the Central, and it doesn't take much in the NBA to tip it.
That was a dramatic change, obviously, for the Celtics, and it kind of set the stage for the next 5 years. But we're in a different stop right now in our situation. We started this rebuilding process when Chris Bosh left. And last year, Coach Casey turned it into a building process. He didn't want to hear about the word rebuild. He says, let's build now. Mm-hmm. Now it's about accelerating because I think with the infusion of talent, the acquisition of a young point guard like Kyle Lowry, who's tough as nails and a bulldog, and even the inclusion of a Landry Fields who brings experience and toughness and tenacity to every possession on the court, I think you're really going to like what you see with the newcomers that we've brought in through free agency and also some trades. So.
A lot of people look at DeMar DeRozan, Brian, is a guy who could be a star in the NBA. He has that kind of potential. Of all your off-season additions, which is the one player you think is going to help him push him to that level?
You know, I think Kyle Lowry's inclusion has already had an impact just in the informal workouts that we've seen. When these guys start running, Kyle's team doesn't lose very often in the scrimmaging, and he's pushed Andrea to greater heights just in the brief moments that I've seen him play. DeMar has come in with a new physicality. He's much bigger, much stronger, and he knows that one of the points of emphasis for him this year is going to be about getting to the basket. And when you get to the basket, you've got a greater chance to score the ball, whether you're going to the free throw line or not. He's never going to be a great three-point shooter, so don't try to become that. Let's try to become better at what your skill set allows. And he can get better defensively, rebounding the ball better from his position. But taking the ball to the hoop is going to be where he makes his money. And, you know, again, when you look at the inclusion of a Lowry, the stability of a Calderon, we've got a great backcourt that I think is going to benefit this entire team across the board.
Let's talk about your front court and what Valanciunas can do for Bargnani, not just this season, but in the seasons to come. Dwayne was very pointed last year and honest, which was really, really great, about when he thought Bargnani had played well, when he thought he needed to do more defensively. The scoring's never been in doubt. His touch has never been in doubt. If Valanciunas is an aggressive rebounder, if he's a back-to-the-basket type guy, does that let Andrea move around the court more and be the player that we've kind of grown into seeing him be and being a more a shooter, I suppose, than a back-to-the-basket Dwight Howard-type defender?
Yeah, but let me clarify what Valanciunas is. Valanciunas is a seven-footer with energy and hustle and tenacity. He's a fighter. He's literally fighting for position, for rebounds. He's not right now a go-to back-to-the-basket scorer, but what he is he's the guy that can set a mean screen. And he dives, and with the dive, the defense sucks in, and it opens up opportunities on the perimeter for everyone else, including Andrea, who might be lifted, including a shooter in the corner. It might be a Terrence Ross or a Landry Fields. But what you're going to have is a guy that's a rim runner. He's going to run the floor every time, beat the defense down the court, and again, suck the defense down with him. It creates opportunities for things on the perimeter. So I think Valanciunas is going to have an impact not only defensively with his presence and the fact that he's a good rimmed protector and a guy that does patrol the paint well and protects the basket, but he's going to also be the guy that offensively helps people without necessarily just throwing the ball in. The rest is going to come, and he has skills to score inside, but that's not going to be where the point of emphasis is this first year.
But does that change your expectation of Bargnani? You drafted him. You've seen him grow. Do you look and say, look, don't look for a double-digit-a-game rebound guy. He's more to us than that. It's like people saying to Ben Wallace, score. Well, you don't want Ben Wallace to take a shot. You know where you want Ben Wallace. Is Bargnani a different contrast? But
Andre is never going to be a great rebounder because most of the time he's lifted in our offensive sets. Or he's the trailer on offense in terms of the flow of this offense. So when you talk about Andrea and what he's capable of doing, he is a supreme scorer in this business. So let's focus on the things, as you said, that he can do. And at the four position, he's much more beneficial from a statistic point of view in terms of the impact on this basketball team.
From a personal standpoint, Brian, when you're about to start this season, what gives you the most comfort? Knowing that you have a coach you can trust like Dwayne Casey to take care of that, or that you've done everything possible to make this team better and give them the depth they're going to need, especially in November when you play 16 games in 27 days.
Exactly. Listen, last year there was the unknown, not only of the season starting, but how long camp would be, how many days to practice. Coach was new to the system, new to the organization. He had a brand new roster to work with. This year, again, we've got some roots in the ground now. That culture has been set. The system is in place. Even the new guys coming in have heard enough about what we're going to be doing defensively and now offensively. And I think the benefit of the 30 days is going to really help coach. But I've got to tell you, I haven't been in this situation walking into a brand new season, coming off of a productive offseason, much, you know, any more comfortable than I am with Coach Casey. He's got everything under control. He's got accountability with the players right now. I really think we're in a good place, and a lot of that is due to Coach Casey.
Which other playoff teams or non-playoff teams, like yourself, do you see as similarly improved? I think we got four teams we know are going to make it, four that might fall out and four that might jump in. But, I mean, do you look at a Cleveland? Obviously, Brooklyn, you know, they're not going to be bad.
I think Brooklyn is probably the team that takes the biggest jump in terms of where they were to where they're going. Obviously, they've got a big commitment financially. They're going to, you know, obviously be taxpayers for the next several years. That's a commitment that's been made. And, you know, those contracts were floating out there and available, but you've got to make the right choices. In our situation, we try to make strategic, prudent choices because we felt like this was the first opportunity to really build this the right way. And now entering year three, we do feel like we're ready to make that jump. you've got similar teams like Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a team that's added some players, subtracted some players, made a few trades at the end of the last year. If they're healthy, they're going to be a team to reckon with. You know, again, there's teams that have made strides, made little adjustments. Washington's going to be a team on the rise with their talent. Again, a young group, but they've added some veteran pieces now with Nene last year, the acquisition there, and they've made some choices. You know, they let the scorer go, and now they're moving at Nick Young, and now they're moving in another direction with some players that they feel are more better fits for their system. So, you know, whether or not, you know, we're there, we're going to be fighting and clawing for it all season long. I can tell you that.
You have new bosses. How do things change for you? How have they changed so far? How do you expect them to change in terms of who you report to, who you talk to, who you let know when there's a move you're going to make, that kind of thing?
I don't think there's going to be much change. You know, we've talked about this last year when the deal was announced. You know, the board makeup is obviously going to change, and we've had one opportunity to sit in front of them as a group, as a management team. I think they like the direction of the team right now. They like where we're going. We've explained to them the plan and how we go about our decision making. But it's been nice interaction thus far with Nadir from Rogers, and you know, we're looking forward to a long lasting relationship. But Larry Tannenbaum, as chairman of the board, is still going to be the individual that I probably interact with most. And again, our management team kind of structures, and it's structured such that internally we govern the management and control of the organization, and we report to the board based on the things that we put into a strategic plan each year. And that process is going to stay the same. I've said this is one of the best run sports organizations, sports and entertainment organizations that I've been exposed to, and I've been exposed to a lot in my 20 plus years in the business. And, you know, when you look at the disciplines that are put in place as far as corporate governance, I think, you know, we've done a very good job of managing this company.